wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. A suicide halted. All men are revealed in God's Word. My message is on the suicides in the Bible. In these days of high and wild living, mental institutions are overcrowded with men, women, and youth who are mental and nervous wrecks. When one with a wrecked mind takes his own life, we leave such cases with God. My message concerns only those who with a clear mind take their lives. Many today, as they face the result of their ungodliness and the wages of their sin, become desperate and are in great danger as the devil whispers to them, "You'd better end it all. Go jump in the river. The devil is a murderer. He inspired Cain to kill his own brother, and he wants you to kill yourself. The devil is a liar. His promises are lies, as he says, end it all. But if you take your life before your body stops its struggles, you will be in eternity, and your troubles will be there to meet you. The memory of your cowardice in running away from them will be there too. You ran away from your debts, but you will meet them there as God charges you with your criminal theft, sporting yourself on someone else's money. You ran away from your disappointments in love or friendship, but greater disappointment will meet you. Your greatest disappointment will be yourself, for you prided yourself on your good sense, only to find yourself to be the biggest fool in the universe, neglecting God's great salvation, going the broad road to hellfire, and even hurrying yourself to your doom by suicide. Your awakened conscience shall charge you, "Thou fool, thou fool." Man is born to trouble, and without the Lord, man tries to run away from his troubles or dull his sensibilities to them. Some get drunk so as not to think of them. That is as silly as knocking your head on a stone wall. But suicide is even worse, and is a step you can never retrace. There's no comeback to it. Neighbor, no matter what is your trouble, face it and call upon the Lord in your distress. Has he not said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me"? And no matter what your sin has gotten you into, or whether your immoral life has caught up with you and disgrace faces you, repent of your sins and seek mercy of God and man. Suicide is not the way out of trouble, but it is the high-speed road into trouble, even into the tormenting flames of hell. What trouble on earth could compare to that fire that never shall be quenched? Christ came to give you life, but the devil came to kill. Our Lord Jesus said, "The thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The devil is killer number one. He preaches suicide and gets lots of converts, but his biggest catch is the slow process suicide. Some wouldn't blow out their brains with a gun, but will drink liquor till it kills them, or smoke their deadly cigarettes, or to be a sport, they'll drive their car 100 miles. When will folks get wise to the tricks of the devil? He is killer number one, public enemy number one. He is filling the cemeteries with human bodies, and he's packing hellfire with human souls, and he's speeding up his program in these last days. Watch your step, neighbor, lest he get you too. As a natural endowment, God has given to man a desire to live, and there's a fighting resistance against death. Since God holds the life strings of his creatures, it is a God-defiant act for anyone to take such into his own hands. And remember, those who defy God in death as in life do not go to heaven. Heaven is for God's children and not for defiant rebels against God. If God permits you to live today, it is his mercy to you. He has a purpose in it. So leave your life in his all-wise hands. Now we will consider the suicides in the Bible. The first one is a man named Abimelech, the son of a great man Gideon. after his father's death, he killed 70 of his father's sons, lest they should take the throne, and so he reigned. God sent his prophet to rebuke him for his sins, but he would not repent. Then God stirred up adversaries, and in the war, he chased the people into a tower. As he drew near, a woman dropped a big stone and wounded him. Upon learning that a woman did it, his pride got the best of him. He didn't want it said that a woman killed him, and he commanded his armor bearer to kill him. Pride has made many suicides. They boasted of their riches, and when they lose them, rather than live humbly, they kill themselves. Some are famous, a title holder, but when another claims it, in pride they become another suicide. These humiliating experiences are to lead us to humble ourselves and repent. Then they will be to our blessing. Our loss will be our eternal gain. But pride has hastened many to the fire that never shall be quenched. The next suicide was King Saul. King Saul could play as if the Lord's one moment and throw a javelin at David, the Lord's anointed, the next moment. A two-faced hypocrite. Then came the showdown for Saul. It was the day of trouble. In the battle, Saul, the proud warrior, was wounded, and as things turned against him, he falls on his own sword and kills himself to avoid the revenge of the Philistines. Today, many do deeds of wickedness, and fearing justice, they take their life. They commit fornication, and fearing childbirth, they commit suicide. They commit assault, and when revengeful relatives get on their trail, they seek death. They drink liquor till their alcohol-destroyed body groans in pain, and then they try death. Neighbor, God has said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Your sin will bring its bitter harvest of suffering, but the devil is no doctor to go to. He will give you his death pills. Would you go to a doctor who gave all his patients pills that killed him? Then don't go to Dr. Satan. Seek the Lord in your distress. He has saved and healed and changed many a derelict, many a ruined sinner. No case is too hard for the Lord Jesus. He bids you bring your burden to him, as he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The next suicide, King Saul's armor bearer. Seeing King Saul, he fell likewise on his sword. Why? He was led by the example of another. Today the devil is using shows and television and picturing suicide and murder. Why? He knows that man is a born imitator. He tries to do what he sees others do. Even a child sees suicide on TV and gets a rope and tries it too. Be wise, neighbors. Don't watch such things, nor let your children watch them either. And don't follow the wicked. Follow the Lord and godly people. Then comes a wise man, Ahithophel. He was so wise, he gave counsel to the king. But when another counselor was preferred above him, he just couldn't take it and hangs himself, putting his head into the suicide's knot and his soul into the fire that God has for the wicked. His spirit was a jealous, rule or ruin spirit, like a girl who sees her steady young man attracted to another, and she tries suicide, like a man in business sees one advanced in the firm while he's passed over. Ahithophel was so wise, yet became the fool, another suicide. Then comes Zimri. He was the servant that killed the king and made himself king. But when he had to face the facts, he went into a selfish rage and burned the palace down on himself. He made a burning palace his coffin and the fiery furnace his eternity. Today, women like Zimri get into a jealous rage and forget their needy children and kill themselves. Then comes Judas Iscariot, who, like many suicides of our day, once pretended to be the Lord's, but he was a hypocrite. He wanted money. He got it, but it didn't satisfy him. It gnawed at his conscience until he threw it down and got a rope and hung himself. He was disappointed in life, and so is every religious hypocrite, even if he's a preacher. Neither money, fame, nor pleasure will satisfy, and religion will not either. Men need Christ. He saves and he satisfies. But Judas would not have him, but just pretended to. If you are a non-converted church member, a non-repentant deacon, or a unregenerated preacher, life is a burden to you. Your religion is a sham. You moan, dull, dull, dull. Let me tell you what you need. It's not a rope or a gun. You need to be born again. And then as a real child of God, with the Holy Spirit in your body, and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and a real joy in your life, every day with Jesus will be sweeter than the day before. From our Bibles, we have learned that never did one of the Lord's real people take his own life. Pretenders did, and the wicked did. In the same battle that Saul killed himself, Jonathan did not, for he was the Lord's. God does not immune or vaccinate his people from trials and troubles, nor from failing minds and bodies. And sometimes they wish the Lord would take them home, as did Jonah and Elijah, but they do not take their own lives. Now we turn to the mystery man, a man who could speak and call a dead man out of a grave, and a man who could speak and cause his own life to go. He needed no rope and no gun. He had power to speak the word only, and he died. It is true that he did die by his own act. No man could kill him. And yet his voluntary death was not in rebellion to God. For he said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." It was an act appointed by God. Truly, he is the mystery man, and his was the mystery death. But why did he die? That man is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross, yet he gave his life as he said, "I am come that they might have life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep." Only his death could give us life. Only his blood could cleanse us from our sins. And only his sacrifice could open the door of heaven to repentant sinners. Brave men have risked their lives to rescue those lost at sea or lost in a burning building. But Jesus gave his life to save me when I was lost in sin and about to be lost in hellfire. He died that I might live. You do not wonder that I love him, do you? But what about a person who was about to kill himself but didn't? In the New Testament, we read of that man. He even had his sword drawn, but God stopped him by a preacher. The would-be suicide trembled in fear. How near he came to that awful deed, and he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" The preacher answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Christ is the only answer to the suicide's problem. That convicted man turned in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved on the spot, and so changed that very night that instead of a funeral at his house, the whole house was turned into a praise meeting. For all his family found salvation in Christ too and rejoiced in the Lord. And it can happen to you. You may have the gun loaded or the pills ready. Stop, man, stop. Christ can save you and solve your problems too. As the hymn says, "Close beside thee stands the burden bearer, strong to bear thy load in thee." Cast yourself at his feet, burden and all, and cry, "Lord Jesus, save me. I'm lost. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm in hopeless despair and about to sink. Lord Jesus, save me as I call upon thy name." And he will take over your whole case, for he came to seek and to save the lost ones. Prove him. He stands every test. He never fails. No case is too desperate for him, and he never turns away a truly repentant soul. Jesus will save you now. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.